Following audio file came from newwineonline.com.
Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
We're going to just look at three verses tonight entitled Unstopping Stopped Up Fountains of Living Water. Look at John 7:37. Unstopping Stopped Up Fountains. Now I would submit over time, things begin to gather and pile up. How many of y'all ever have a backed up sink? Because what happens? Stuff gets in there and jams in the pipe, builds up, backs up. And so it is, sometimes that can happen with us. Jesus said in John 7:37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, a lot of people don't realize this. They don't examine that scripture carefully. But Jesus is referring to what happened on Pentecost Day. He is referring that when the Spirit fell, the church was born on the day of Pentecost. At that time, a phenomenon would occur in the lives of those there and people that would follow that, that out of their belly would flow rivers of living water. He said, this spake he of the Holy Spirit when he come. Well, in other words, the purpose of the Holy Spirit when he comes is so that he flows out of us a river of living water. Now, I looked in the Greek at the word flow there, and it's the only time it's translated in the Bible, and what it means is flow. Got it? Sometimes you look at the Greek, there's nothing profound. This is one of them. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, it's interesting. He says, as the scripture has said. And y'all notice that? Has anyone ever found in the Old Testament where Jesus is quoted? He said, as the scripture has said, out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. I'm telling you, folks, in all the years I've been a believer, I have never found where that is in the Word. But there is a kind of an allusion to it in Isaiah 12, if you turn there. And this may be what he was referring to. I tend to believe it is. But it's interesting. Jesus would quote liberally from the Old Testament, and once in a while, he'd say something, and you'd go, where did he get that? Well, when you're God, you wrote it in the first place, you know. I'm sure he got it from somewhere. But Isaiah 12, and in that day you shall say, O Lord, I will praise you. You were angry with me. Your anger is turned away. You comforted me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah, this is Isaiah 12:2, is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of what? And in that day you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name. Declares doings among the people. So it may very well be that this is what Jesus said. But therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells. He's obviously talking spiritual language. You know, it's interesting that in John chapter 4, turn back to John 4, keeping that in mind what we saw in Isaiah 12, John 4, Jesus draws a picture of a well being inside of us. John 4:13. To the woman at the well, Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never, look at this, but the water I give him shall be in him what? A well of water springing up in everlasting. So it's very possible what he was referring to in John 4, he was quoting from Isaiah, and then the allusion, the kind of, to go on from that, he said, I don't want to just be in you a well. I'm not content just to be a well. A well is a place where water is, but you have to get it out. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out. But he says, I want to be flowing out of you like a river. And that day, the great day of the feast, he said, in that day, out of your belly will flow rivers of, in other words, he's not content us just to have a well. He wants to flow out. To flow out. So here's my question tonight. Everybody be honest now. What is the flow rate? What is the gauged flow rate of your river? Is your river flowing? Is it gushing? I mean, Jesus said, how many of you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Okay, a bunch of y'all didn't even raise your hand. How many of y'all are even here? Are awake? Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? With evidence of speaking in tongues? How well is your river flowing? Have you ever thought about that? How many of y'all feel like maybe your river stopped up a little bit? Your well is stopped up. That maybe it's not flowing like it once did. Maybe it's kind of gushing. Maybe trickling. Maybe dribbling. Out of your belly shall dribble. Is that what it says? Out of your belly shall spurt. Squirt. No. Well, you know, I found Isaac, Abraham Isaac, had this same problem. Look at this. Genesis 26. Turn there. Did you know that Isaac had a problem of stopped up wells? Genesis 26, verse 12. Esau and Jacob had been born. He was in his pilgrimage days, going in unto the land that his father Abraham had possessed. Genesis 26:12. And then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds, a great store of servants. And the Philistines what? What did you say? Envied him. And when I saw that, I immediately thought, does anybody remember what it said in John about why the high priests turned Christ over to be crucified? Well, no, yeah, there's that reference. But there is a verse in John that says, for Pilate knew that for envy did they turn over Christ. That the powers of darkness, the Satan was able to work through and manipulate men to betray, to arrest, to come against the Son of God out of envy. It was envy and jealousy that they were able to achieve. You know, it's interesting that Solomon says, basically, anger is one thing, but man, you better stay away from envy. In fact, let me give you that reference. Talking about, he said, wrath is cruel, Proverbs 27:4, and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? In fact, look at, well, you don't need to look, I'll just read this passage. Song of Solomon says, set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, and love is strong as death, jealousy is cruel as a grave, the coals are cruel coals of fire which have a vehement flame. There's something about envy and jealousy that is more powerful than rage and anger. While rage and anger comes out of envy, it causes great consternation. And that was the spirit that operated in betraying Christ. So we see here back in Genesis 26, the Philistines were envious of Isaac. because of his great bounty. How God was blessing him. So what did they do? For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines stopped them up and filled them with earth. So we'll know what we do. He went up behind, went up before him or behind him, and all these wells, you know, in those days, they didn't have well drilling equipment. I mean, it was difficult to dig a well, dig straight down until you get water in the barren land of the Holy Land. And Abraham had succeeded in drilling a bunch of wells, digging wells. Well, the Philistines, because they were envious of Isaac, they went up and started filling it with dirt. There's, you know, terrorists. Really shame. So they stopped the wells up. They jammed up the works. And verse 16, and Abimelech said to Isaac, go from up, you're much mightier than us. And Isaac departed and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called the names after the names by which his father, you know, they would name these wells. And so he went back and he went into a restoration of finding these old wells that were full of dirt and digging all the dirt. You know, I would submit it was probably a whole lot more difficult to pull the dirt out than it was to put it in. And Isaac was tenacious. He wouldn't stand for the status quo. You know, the type here, I think there's a type, I would submit. There's always a type in the Old Testament. That for envy, the enemy, there is a reason the enemy attacks us. And he is very envious. I was thinking about this. What is he envious of us? And I think he's the envious of is the very thing Jesus said. That out of your belly would flow rivers of living water. He does not want us to move in power. He does not want us to have anything other than soulishness. He doesn't want spiritual power to flow out of us. So the same spirit of envy that crucified Christ, spirit of envy that caused the Philistines to stop the wells, so it is the enemy. Jams up our works. He's envious of you and I. I was thinking the other day, you know how that scripture says the angels in 1 Peter 1 are curious and they don't understand the things of the salvation by the blood. And it says which things the angels desire to look into. He's talking about the gospel which was preached beforehand, but that we have now received the salvation of the blood of Jesus. Which things the angels of the Lord do not comprehend. They don't understand. They don't fathom. It's not within their frame of reference, the notion of salvation and redemption and forgiveness. So I was thinking, you know what it is in the demonic? The demonic realms, they don't understand. They cannot fathom. They're very envious at these dust balls, these clods of dirt, that they would be encased within them the power of the supernatural. In fact, if you'll turn, I'll tell you what Satan's envious of. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. This is what Satan is envious of. And I'm trying to, what I was thinking as I was putting this teaching together is looking at the motive of the demonic. There is a motive on the demonic to constantly harass, attack, torment, trip up, and stop up the works of the believers. And it really, I believe, is jealousy and envy because Satan is a proud creature and he wanted to be like God. He wanted to move in this power and he lost it all. And here we are moving in the very power. And so it's like he's jealous. He's like, that should have been mine. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine to them. Look at verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's the excellency of the power may be of God and not us. See, Satan sees we're just a bunch of earthen vessels. I remember years ago a demon used the phrase dust balls. They have no respect for people because from dust thou what? Unto dust thou shalt be. Does everybody remember what the serpent's meat was? He ate dust. So he sees this as dust to eat. And the fact that dust balls can encase within them the power, out of their belly would flow rivers of living water. You know, it's interesting. You look at that phrase, living waters out of your belly. It's the same word as the waters that flow out from the throne. In Ezekiel, was it 28 and in Revelations 22? The same water that was for the healing of the nations. Now, if you go back to Genesis 26, look what happened to Isaac ultimately. He unstopped the wells, Genesis 26, 19, and look what he found. 26, 18, he digged the wells of the well, all of which that the Philistines had stopped up, he named them. In verse 19, look at this, Genesis 20, and Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Now, I don't know how your versions read, but the margin of the King James reads living water. And that's really what living water is. It's water that wasn't stagnant. It was running. It was coming from a pure source. So the tenacity of Isaac, he wouldn't stand for the status quo. He did not want to have stopped up wells. Not only did he unstop the wells he had, he ultimately uncovered living water. Y'all following me with me tonight, where I'm going on this? The question is, what stopped up your well? Is anything stopping up your well? Is any dirt in there? You know, the Holy Ghost gives us instructions how to unstop it. You ready? Last place we're going to look, and then we're going to have some ministry. Song of Solomon's 4. We're going to do some unstopping tonight. Song of Solomon's 4. Y'all know where that is? It's right after chapter 3. Yeah. Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Says Solomon did 1,000 songs, but this one's written down. Song of Solomon's 4, we're just going to jump in. There's some beautiful language here, and I really believe, forgive me, but I like to take the approach that Song of Solomon's is a bit of an allegory. Would you agree with me? I would submit it's one of the 66 books in the Bible. It's surely not just shoved in there to be some titillating little poetry thing. I have to believe it has meaning. You ever heard of the phrase that Jesus is the lily of the valleys? Huh? The rose of Sharon. It all comes from Song of Solomon's. Song of Solomon's is really some beautiful language in here, allegory. I've done a booklet on this. In fact, years ago the Lord gave me a wonderful allegory of discipleship found in the Song of Solomon's. I need to teach that again. But right in the middle of this, the beloved, talking about the bride, he's frustrated in chapter 4 because he sees, listen to this, so much potential in her life. And she's not living up to potential. It's analogous to having her well stopped up, okay? There's so much water that, there's so much could flow out of her, but it's just not happening. And we see this, look, Song of Solomon's 4, verse 12. He describes in verse 12, the state of affairs. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. What? A spring what? Shut up and a fountain sealed. So he's saying the sad state of affairs is like going to a beautiful garden and the gate's locked. It's like going to a fountain and it's shut up and sealed. You can't get any water out of it. Then he goes on, thy plants, in verse 13 and 14, I believe what he's doing, he's describing as he's standing there at the gate of the garden, as it were, with the picture is a beautiful garden gate. kind of like a Thomas Kincaid picture, if you can pick it. Garden gate, a garden. There's a fountain that flows and irrigates the garden. Well, the gate's closed. The fountain shut down. Of course, now what? What would have the garden? No water. All dried up, withered. So then he's standing there, and he kind of begins to almost prophesy in the next two verses, talking about what ought of the potentials of this garden, thy plants or orchids of pomegranates, pleasant fruits, camphor and spikenard and saffron and calamus and cinnamon, trees of frankincense and myrrh. Well, in other words, almost he's like saying, and I believe some have said in the original there's nine of them. You know how many fruits of the Spirit there are in Galatians 5? How many gifts in 1 Corinthians 12? I don't know if you know, but there are nine character traits in Proverbs 1. I'll teach on that sometimes. And here is his nine. It's almost like the fruits of the Spirit. I see the potentials of the fruits in your life. You know, here you're saved. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit. The Lord comes. Gate shut. Fountains, you know, just barely leaking. And he said, oh, what potential. You can have so much peace. You can have so much joy and love. You can have so much temperance and evenness, calmness, meekness, humility, grace in your life. He's just grieved. And then in verse 15, he says, look, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. That's another place that commentators believe Christ was referring to in John 7. There's a couple of verses. That's another one. And I really believe it is. I think Jesus was saying, out of your belly. You know the importance of when, in John 7, 37, when he talks about the belly. Anybody know what that means? What was he referring to? He says, out of your belly. It's old King James. I don't know what your versions, what did your version say for John 7, 37 or 38? Did it say out of your belly? Or your innermost parts. Well, the old King James, I like the word belly because really it says the spirit of man is the can of the Lord searching the inward parts of the belly. Paul talks to you about how I come to you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's crazy language. But there's something about, it's like your spirit lives in the core of who you are. And Jesus said, I want to flow from the taps, from the core, from the center of who you are. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters and streams. In other words, this is what I want. Unfortunately, the state of affairs for most is verse 12. You know, filled with the Holy Spirit, like you ask people. You know, we minister or witness or evangelize. People say, well, you know, either they say, well, I was saved. They live like the devil now, but they were saved. Or maybe you get somebody that's a little more spiritual. Well, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I remember the day. Like, you know, I really believe, I don't know if you know, but the baptism of the Spirit is never found in the New Testament as a noun. It is not a noun. It is not an event. There's Ephesians 5 says, be filled with the Spirit. You know the verse, be filled? The aorist tense in the Greek means to be being filled. It's a constant. Every day, you got to be filled. So they say, well, I got baptized. I remember when I was, August 24th, 1971. But the truth was, what happened this morning on November 26th, 2004? That's the question about the Spirit. Was I filled with the Spirit today? Now, the baptism of the Spirit, all that does is that's when I get freed up to sing in tongues and speak in tongues. But every day we've got to come back to the well. And unfortunately, what describes so many people is verse 12, living so far from their potential. So what I want to show you is what the Lord does. The Holy Spirit is not content with this state of affairs. He isn't. He's not content. If anybody is born again, the Holy Spirit will work on them over the years and seek to free them so that out of that belly flows rivers of living water. I really believe. We're going to see here the secret, the bottom line of the Holy Spirit. What he will not, if you're saved, if somebody's saved, He's not going to let you alone. And what he does is verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come what? Thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices may what? There it is. Flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasure. You know, the Lord wants to commune with us. This is some real intimate language. He wants to commune with us, but in the context of our spirit. But what he has to do is he takes awake what? What is the north wind? What does the north wind speak of? Anybody? Right. Adversity. But aren't you glad he says, oh, come what? So he, right. He, you know, he is sending the north wind of adversity, but he's merciful. It's not a constant gale. Once in a while he bats off. Come on, south wind. You ready to repent? Had enough north wind? No? Okay. You know, the blue norther. Of course, you know, here in where we live, it'd be the other way around. Come, heated, burning south winds, blowing the petrochemical plant smell. Ah, had enough? Okay, here's a nice norther. The idea is, of course, God sends adversity. Do you see it right here? Awake, north wind. You know, I was thinking about when he said awake. For a lot of people, God, you know, did you know Psalm 73, the psalmist, the whole time he was grieved because it seemed like rich people never had a hassle. You ever read that psalm? It just seemed, in fact, it's interesting. Psalm 73 and Psalm 37. Because 37, flip them, 37 addresses the same thing in the beginning verses. And 73, the whole chapter is about, it's not fair. All these people have all this stuff, and everything's going great for them, and it's just not fair, and it's no fair, and I'm saved, and all I get is misery and attack. That's right. And all of a sudden, in the middle of Psalm 73, he says, until I went to the sanctuary of God, and I prayed, and went, oh Lord. He said, then I saw their terrors and the horrors that they're slipping into eternity of eternal darkness. And the end of that psalm says, oh Lord, what a beast and idiot I am. Forgive me. You take me by the hand, you carry me to glory. Amen? Straightened his head out. But the truth is, the wicked do not suffer adversity like the righteous. And that's the whole book of Job. You know, the whole book of Job, where the argument was, it just, well, you're suffering adversity, obviously you're wicked. You know, that's the philosophy of the word faith. How many people go to these churches when they have troubles? The churches are great, everything's going great. As soon as you have a problem, they don't know what to do with you. You're obviously in sin. You know, a lot of times it's just the Lord waking up the north wind to break the hardness inside so that we'll be gentle inside and life will flow out. We'll be a river of living water. We'll bear fruit. We'll bear fruit. Isn't it interesting? He said, I want to come in and eat my presence fruits. And Jesus said, by your fruits you can know them. But Jesus said, look, concerning his Father, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. In other words, fruit is the evidence of discipleship. Real fruit. Have you ever noticed when everything goes right, it's hard to be desperate? Huh? When everything's fine? In fact, I've noticed that. I don't care how much I understand this. It's true. When everything's fine, I have my quiet times. I learned a long time ago, man, put in your time. Don't you be a baby and do the roller coaster, you know, and seek God and blow him off. No, no. But I have noticed when things aren't particularly frustrating, not a lot of adversity, it's harder to be desperate. Amen? That's what speaking in tongues is for. Because you can sing and speak in tongues and the Holy Ghost will get you where you need to be in your quiet time. But from the soul, it's hard to be desperate. Everything's going fine. It's hard to go, oh Lord, oh Lord. It's hard to do that when everything's going fine. Right? It would be wise to do that, wouldn't it? But that's what's singing in tongues. That's why it's so good to get in the spirit. Because we're praying like that in the spirit. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the spirit makes intercession for us. Wisest thing in tongues, praying in tongues every day, trust me. Wisest thing you can do. You avoid all kinds of stuff. So the Lord sends adversity. He allows the north wind to blow. And you know, the adolescent's response is, I don't understand. Why is everything going bad? And they get mad at God. Or they're hurt. Or they just, you know, lapse into the old patterns. What I'm hoping you seek tonight from these scriptures, it's a Holy Spirit pattern, folks. To loosen out of your belly the rivers of living water. Can you hear an amen? How many of y'all want the waters to flow? Okay, we're going to do a little bit of ministry. Leave the tape on. Coming to the end of the year here, I felt like this might be appropriate. Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Okay. Lord, I pray that you would come and you would unstop our wells. Any dirt, any dust, anything thrown in by the enemy, or that we've allowed him to throw in. Lord, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, right now and minister to us with the power of the Holy Ghost, under the unction of the Holy Ghost. All those that are here, I pray the anointing would rest on the CD. So whoever listens to this will get the same kind of deliverance. Come, Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to lead you in some basic prayers. The first one is unforgiveness. Say this after me. Father, I confess to you I've held unforgiveness, bitterness or resentment in my heart against certain people who have hurt me and disappointed me. I've chosen to judge others. As a result, I've withdrawn from them in my heart. Forgive me for these offenses against you and them. Thank you for the cleansing of your blood. I do now forgive and release the following people toward whom I've held any unforgiveness or judgments. Okay, right now, come Holy Spirit, as any name pops up, you just, between you and Jesus, you just say, I forgive them. I forgive them. I bless them. I release them. Let go your bitterness. Let go your anger. Let go your right to be angry, your right to judge. Jesus said, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Your very forgiveness from God is based upon your willingness to forgive those who've hurt you. Do it. If you're sitting around and say, well, I'll do it, when they behave a certain way, you're missing it, man. Forgive them. Christ was hanging on the cross, and the Romans were in no way repentant. Yet nevertheless, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So forgive right now in Jesus' name. Any name that's coming up. Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. Bring them up, Lord. Maybe somebody at work, maybe a family member. Someone's hurt you. Let it go, man. Been nursing on it. It may be the Holy Spirit is telling you now you need to go make it right, too. You may need to go. Scripture says in Matthew 5 that you need to leave the gift at the altar and go make it right. It's always incumbent upon you to make it right, not the other. You can't say, well, they need to come. No, Scripture says whether you've been offender or offendee, you go make it right. Blessed are the peacemakers. Okay, now say this after me. I also have not loved or forgiven myself for the ways I've sinned and fallen short. I do now choose to love and forgive myself and see myself forgiven and fully reconciled by the merciful love of Jesus. I want you to do that right now. Guilt and shame, condemnation, accusation, are evidences that you've not been forgiven yourself, that you've been beating yourself up. Folks, the truth is, you ought to just be grateful you're not a whole lot worse. It's really pride to somehow believe, be surprised at your iniquity. It's pride. Truth is, Lord, thank you. Man, I'm just not an absolute animal. Thank you for your mercy. And then you, in fact, say this, Jesus, I put myself at your feet. As you come deal with me, Lord, I'm not going to strive. I try to do better. I put myself at your feet. You send the north wind and the south wind, however you would, so that I will be free and soft inside. In Jesus' name, amen. The next area is unhealthy soul ties. Say this, in the name of Jesus, I break every soul tie, unhealthy bonding of the past that would bind me to my sin or hinder my growth. I declare every unhealthy tie with the following peoples to be broken in Jesus' name. Amen. Any relationship with any person where there's something unhealthy or possessive or jealous or controlling or manipulative or fear or intimidation, you just say, Lord, I lay that at your feet. I don't want to be tied. Fear of man is a snare. I don't want to be snared. I don't want to be tied in any way unhealthily with anybody. I want to be bound them with the bond of peace and the unity of the Spirit, but not in any other bond. You just lay it at his feet. Say, Jesus, come. Heal those ties. Make them healthy. You're number one. Say this after me. In Jesus' name, I renounce breaking loose myself from the cords and ties and tentacles and bands. In Jesus' name. I also break any word curses spoken on me by others. In Jesus' name, I bless those that have cursed me. I pray for those that despised and abused me. And I release all of those that have hurt me. I declare myself to be bound today only to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Say this, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that I'm your child, been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you became a curse for me when you shed your precious blood at Calvary. I enter into that victory you won for me, and I take back what the devil stole. Forgive me for all of the areas where I opened the doors, or my forefathers opened the doors to generational curses and blights and afflictions. Now I'm just going to read these out, and if that's any one of these is applicable, then you just say, amen. I refer to that. Being negligent in the Lord's work, idolatry, Freemasonry, Indian gypsy ancestry, the possession of cursed objects, amulets, talismans, occultism, not giving to the poor, theft, swearing falsely, saying to the wicked, you're righteous, robbing God in tithes and offerings, breaking vows, men hearkening to their wives rather than God, lightly esteeming your parents, treating your parents with contempt, cheating people, taking advantage of the blind, the spiritually blind, oppressing others, sexual perversion of every kind, deception and negligence, rewarding evil for good, bastardization, illegitimacy, fathering illegitimate children, or being the illegitimacy in my own life, incest in the family line, murder and hatred in the heart, striking parents, cursing parents, participation or being party to abortion, the sin of Molech, sacrificing to false gods, witchcraft, horoscopes, premarital sex, a rebellion against parents, defiling, speaking evil against rulers and authorities, winking at rebelliousness in others, refusing to warn others of their sin, willing deceivers, pridefulness, participating in the occult, homosexual, lesbianism, praying to the dead, blaspheming the name or cursing God, worldly-minded and rebellious children. Any one of those, you just say, yeah, Lord, I renounce that in Jesus' name. Amen? Whether it's your participation or you're aware that it is in your family line, you know, your father, your grandfather, many generations back. Say this, I renounce these things in the name of Jesus. I break all curses that have come upon me and my family line as a result of my disobedience or the disobedience of any of my ancestors. I renounce any oaths that I or my ancestors ever made to any false god, idol, cult, or false religion. I break the curse of idolatry off of me. I break the power of every word spoken curse or evil word that came forth from my mouth or anyone else's mouth that's had a negative effect upon my life or the lives of others. I renounce breaking loose myself and all of my descendants from all psychic heredity, demonic holds, psychic powers, bonds of physical or mental illness, or curses which upon my family line, come on, keep saying it, as a result of sins, occult or psychic involvements of myself, my parents, or any of my ancestors. One more paragraph. I close all these doors that have been open to Satan. I declare that I'm free from the negative effect of these curses in my life. For whoever the Son sets free shall be free indeed. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, come. Lord, come right now. We're just digging down in the wells and digging up the dirt. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. By the power of the anointing of God, I pray you'll minister and release us from any accumulation, stagnancy, bondage, blockage that the enemy has been able out of envy to cause, to bring into our life. Right now, I serve notice to the enemy. I serve notice to the unclean powers, the unclean spirits, the evil spirits, the wicked spirits, the spirits assigned over each member that's hearing my voice, the spirits assigned over this church. In the name and the power of the name of Jesus, we bind you, Satan. I bind your authority. I loose you from your jurisdiction over these, for they are born again, bought with the blood of Jesus, are not their own. You have no rights. You cannot continue to torment. We mess up. We devastate. We eliminate your plans. your plotting, your devices, your schemes, your wiles in Jesus' name. I shatter them and I scatter them. I declare your power broken over their lives. I declare your hold broken on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus. I declare that you have no more power, no more prowess, no more ability. We limit you. We block you. You're the haughtiness, the arrogance, the strongholds. We bind the strong man in Jesus' name. We bind the spirits, the deeper spirits that would hinder deliverance today. I bind the strong man. I bind you up. Lord, I ask you to send angels with chains and bind the hand of the devil. Bind the hands of the strong man that he cannot in any way manipulate or bind his mouth, that he cannot speak to any other demon. Lord, I pray that you would constrict him, for we want to plunder his goods. We bind you in Jesus' name. For one greater than you has come upon you. And Jesus said, you're content keeping your goods in peace. But when one greater than you comes upon you, we can strip you of your armor. And one greater than you is here. And that's Jesus Christ with the power of the Holy Ghost. So one greater than you is here, and I bind you, Satan. I bind every hold you have over every saint. I bind you, and I take your power tonight in Jesus' name. I take the power of Antichrist spirits, lying spirits of Antichrist in Jesus' name. Anything against Christ and his teaching, always learning, never understanding, blockage of understanding, never coming into wisdom or knowledge, always stumbling over the same areas, fear of being fear of standing up for Jesus, ashamed of Jesus, his name, ashamed of proclaiming him, bitterness towards God, blasphemy, being critical, degrading the Holy Spirit, degenerating the Holy Spirit, not taking advantage of the giftings of the Holy Spirit. Difficulty to stay awake when the Word of God is preached. Disinterest in spiritual things, worldliness, creeping worldliness in Jesus' name. I paint the power of these Antichrist spirits. Not liking the way God made you. Not thankful, ungrateful. Not thinking God loves you. Easily distracted from things of the Spirit. Feel like God desires to punish you. Feel like God doesn't want the best for you. Feeling you have to earn God's approval. Feeling that doing what God says is burdensome. I paint the spirit. These are Antichrist spirits, folks. This is what the way these spirits minister to you. They degrade, they dull the sharp edge of the things of the Lord. They slowly indict the character of God and indict his benevolence and blessing for you and cause you to become dull and resistant and backslid, harassing, hardened to the truth, impiety, irreverence, inability or unwillingness to praise the Lord at any time, inability or unwillingness to trust God, inability to understand God's Word, inattentiveness when God's Word is preached, indifference and resistance to the Word of God, leaving God out of your thinking, liberalism, wax cold of love, mistrusting God, neglecting a worship, neglecting assembling together in worship, feeling like there's nothing to look forward to, boredom. Folks, this is all rooted in Antichrist. Opposition to authority, opposition to the Bible, persecution, prayerlessness, hating to pray, rationalizing, religious aberrations, robbing God of the tithes, stirring up strife, suppressing ministry, taking God's name in vain, unable to see or hear spiritually, uncomfortable in gospel meetings, unforgiveness towards God. Base your salvation on your worthiness. Believe that you're unacceptable to God, blaming God for what the devil has caused. Lord, I pray right now, conviction of the Holy Spirit, that you would expose the workings of the Antichrist demon on the heart, on the mind of anyone that's hearing right now. Antichrist, I paint your power in Jesus' name. Folks, anything that came forth that you acknowledge and said, yeah, that's a tendency I have, right now you need to say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I didn't realize that's Antichrist. That's an attitude that's been growing up and cropping in my heart. That's a bunch of mud that's been thrown down on my well. I didn't realize. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I have become hardened to these things, insensitive and not soft, Lord. And I've gotten bored and complacent and worldly. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Come on, humble yourself to Jesus. And you loose that spirit of Antichrist. I paint your power. Antichrist, I paint your power with the saints. I paint your power with this church. In Jesus' name. I assault you and I break your authority in Jesus' name. Religious spirits. Religious spirits are Antichrist, man. Go, go, go. Paint your power, go. Paint your power, go in Jesus' name. Let him go. Let go of the minds. Let go of the minds in Jesus' name. Release the vice you have on the mind. Release the deception, Antichrist deceptions. Deception of Antichrist in Jesus' name. It's okay to be lukewarm. It's okay to be halfway. It's okay. God loves you. Everything's going to be fine. You can live a lukewarm, backslid, compromised life. Go in Jesus' name. I take your power, Antichrist. Everybody take a deep breath. Come on. Thrust those things out. Thrust them out of your heart. Thrust them out of your gut. Lord, come. Come, Lord. Send the angel of the Lord. Lord, you said out of our belly would flow rivers. Come on. Pull them out. Pull them out in Jesus' name. Jesus. Deception. Antichrist deceptions go. Spirit of deception. Deceiving spirits. I take your power. Go. Worried about what other people think. Wondering about popularity. Clicks. Wanting to be with certain people. Avoiding other people. Not willing to go to him that is least. Not willing to serve the needs of the lowly and the hurting. Go in Jesus' name. Break. Take the power of that spirit. Haughtiness and prideful spirits. Haughtiness. Feel like you're better than other people. Feel like you're not as irresponsible or sinful as other people. Folks, don't ever go there, man. God in his mercy will show you that that is not true. But for the grace of the living God, we are potential of anything. Can you hear an amen? Ah, pride. And since in the spirit leading, I think we're going to hit two areas tonight. Don't go being all haughty at the other people that weren't here tonight. And you can say, well, I got delivered of Antichrist. Praise God. And hey, I got delivered of pride last Friday night. And you didn't. Not a good idea. I like to joke around in deliverance session. It just freaks the demons out. Come on. All the pride, because that kind of goes with Antichrist. Always competing with others, argumentation, arrogance, boastfulness, boastful, bragging. You know, can't find God. Don't know where the Lord is. Somebody says, what's the Lord doing? I don't know. Because God resists the proud. Comparison. Always comparing yourself to other people. Always looking at other people and thinking they're this way and they're that way and I wish I was this. Folks, that's just pride. Rather than being grateful for Jesus, the way Jesus made you. conceit. Condescending. Looking down at certain types of people, thinking, oh, I'm above that. Contentiousness. Craving attention. Attention getting. Always sticking yourself in the middle of things. Ignorance. Insensitive to others. Desire for attention. Always having to make everything flow around yourself. Easily agitated, easily upset. Come on, egocentric, haughtiness, holier than thou, impatience, always being impatient with people, and importance, insisting on having your way, insolence, intellectualism, intolerance of others, irritability, loftiness, mocking spirits, more concerned with your own interests than the interests of others, overbearing, perfectionism. Prayers never seem to get answered. Prejudice, pride of beauty, preoccupation with physical appearance, preoccupation with the externals, pride of money, pride of possessions, pride of power, pride of position, prima donna, princess spirit, feeling like you're a little princess, a little prima donna. Everybody's got to tiptoe around you. Or I guess the prima donna would be the man, the princess would be the woman. Self-importance, self-centeredness, self-exalting, selfish ambition, self-justification, self-righteous, smugness, spiritual barrenness, dryness, spiritual pride, stiff-necked, superiority, theatrics, being too picky, too touchy, vain, wanting other people to serve you rather than you serving other people. Wanting recognition, needing recognition of others, wanting recognition so that you could have self-worth in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. All the stuff. Just say, if that was you, just say, oh, Jesus, man. You just nailed me. Lord, that's me. I just laid myself. Lord, forgive me. I want that. I want to be free. That's all you got to do, folks. Just tell Jesus, I don't want that no more. You know, the good news is just confess it, man. That's true. I see it. I don't want that in my life, Lord. I don't want to be that way. Please come and save me and deliver me. It's all you got to do, folks. You don't have to figure out how you're not going to be that way anymore. That's a joke. Just say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for that. That was a spirit. Those are spirits operating through my personality. I've given ground to the devil. Forgive me, Jesus. Just confess it, man. He's faithful and just to forgive you. If you just own it, you just say, yeah, that's the way I've been, Lord. That's exactly right. That describes me. Forgive me, Lord. I want to walk as an adult. I want to walk as a spiritual mature person. I want to be a snob. I don't want to walk around with antichrist and pridefulness all over me, Lord. Other people can feel it and see it, and I can't. And you resist it. Come on, humble yourself. God gives grace to the humble tonight. Come on. All the prideful stuff. Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on out of the saints. Come on. All these spirits, unravel off their emotions, unravel out of their mind. Come on. I paint your power, Satan. I paint your power in this room. Come on. Come on, you lying spirits, you lying snakes. Come on. Come on. Up and out of the emotions, out of the mind. Go. Go, deceptive spirits, lying spirits, haughty spirits, arrogant spirits. Paint your power. Antichrist spirits, prideful spirits. Luciferian, satanic spirits that rob us from the blessing of God, that rob us from hearing His voice, that keep us dull and soulless and having to run to things for solace. I paint your power. I paint your power. Hand you to go in Jesus' name. For Jesus said, out of our belly would flow rivers of living water. He said, out of our belly would flow rivers of living water. Now, come on, come on. Lord, I ask you to just prime the pump, let the rivers of water begin to flow. Flow, flow, flow. And drive this dust out. Drive the dust out. Drive the dirt out. Lord, send your angels right now with some excavation equipment in there. Shundalamas, shovels and some backhoes, Lord. Just begin to dig the dirt out in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on, all of it. Come on. Haughtiness, pride. Out, out, out. Everything I called on. Everything I addressed. Go. Take a deep breath. Thrust it out. And paint your power. Paint your power. Paint your power in the name of Jesus. Let it go. Let it go, in Jesus' name. The Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Lord, I know you've honored all of those tonight that in their heart have concurred and acknowledged their offenses in these areas where they've given ground to the enemy. Lord, I thank you for the cleansing blood of Jesus, the washing of the water of the Word, and the cleansing... Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, now. Come on. In your mercy. Just pour your anointing right now on each one, Lord. Pour your balm. Pour your salve, Lord. Lord, every place where the enemy had a hold, every place where he was deceiving and binding and limiting and constricting and restricting, come, Holy Spirit. Pour your anointing. Pour your grace, Jesus. Pour your grace, Jesus. More, more, Lord, right now. Like oil, like just fill it up. I call forth the waters of life now. Come forth. Come forth living waters, running water from the subterranean reservoirs, from the deep, deep areas deep within us. We tap the veins in Jesus' name. Ola Shantara, come forth, come forth. Come forth, living water, right now. O Shundaloma Sitarama. I want you to pray this prayer. This is the disciples' prayer. Jesus, say this. Jesus, in areas where I'm hard and things are stuck and not moving, come thou north wind. Blow and awake the north wind in my life that these things would flow out. But in your mercy, send the south wind of blessing. For I know, Lord, you're faithful to deliver me and also not tempt me above that I'm able. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, just honor the prayer. Honor the commitment, Lord. Honor the honesty and openness on the part of each one, Lord. We want to be free. We want to be disciples. We want to genuinely deal with this stuff. Lord, the enemy, I know how he is. He's always seeking some other way to slither in, to bind up the body, to folks begin to get preoccupied with other things and lose the focus of the kingdom of God. Lord, ever keep before us revelation of what the enemy's about so we can banish him from this flesh and we can continue to be a body out on the cutting edge, Lord. Lord, a fire will continue to flow from this place. Thank you, Jesus. I just bind up now all that the Lord has done. I bind the powers of darkness from any retaliation, any backlash against any person here. I bind you from the children, from our health, our automobiles, our homes. In Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, from retaliating against anyone that's not here. I forbid you to retaliate in any way against this body. And you are bound and poke your power, take your power in the spiritual realm. I bind you over this place. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and move and have your way in our lives, Lord. Come and move. Do a deep work in us, Jesus. I pray in the weeks to come, in your mercy, let this word, I pray you quicken this word, more of this word. So coming into the new year, we'll have some really deep and intense deliverance in our lives. And come into a fresh, anointed new year, Lord, as we get to these dark days of the end times, Lord. Lord, we'll be free, not caught up and tripped up and stumbling by the nickel and dime demons of our lives, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.